The subject that I want to speak on with the time that we have this morning is maybe an unusual subject, but a subject that's been on my mind for some time and was solidified in just some other events that I've had to deal with in my life. And this may be an unusual title, but I want to title the message this morning to Beware of the Technology Trap. So I hope to look from the Word of God and hopefully apply some truth to this concept. I think before we go into that subject, that during the time of David, when there was a transfer of power from the then fallen King Saul to David, all peoples gathered around David. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we have chronicled some of those peoples that gathered together as David was becoming king of Israel. And there's an interesting group in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 that the Bible calls the children of Issachar. And the Bible makes special note of these men because the Bible says these were men that had understanding of the times. These were men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Wouldn't that be a wonderful blessing as you were being ushered in as a king or ushered in as a leader of a people, to have wisdom behind you from men that had an understanding of the times? I think that we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are mandated by Scripture to have an understanding of the times that we live in. But unfortunately, I think in many cases that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been behind the times as far as dealing with the issues that come up in our culture, issues that come up in our society. Now, we need to understand that God's Word never changes. Men change. Men are fickle. Men go from one fad to the other, but the Word of God never changes. So as I say that the church is behind the times, I'm not talking about behind the times as far as not updating the truth of God's Word. We believe in the unchangeable truth of God's Word, as Brother Doug preached. But I think in many issues, we've been behind the times as far as addressing the times that we live in, as far as addressing the issues that permeate our society. I think about the time, when the whole modernism started seeping into our culture. The church, in many cases, was even a generation or even two generations in realizing that this philosophy was eating away at the fabric of the church. You think about the so-called sexual revolution of the 70s, and in many cases we were behind as far as standing upon the principles of God's Word as far as morality goes. You think about the issue of evolution. That was in the news not too long ago with the debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye. We live in a time today where there are many of God's people that don't embrace what the Bible says about creation. Well, why is that? Well, I think it's because of a neglect of teaching when that false teaching started coming to pass. Well, this morning I want us to speak on a subject that, I'll tell you this, it really was solidified for me some time ago. I'd had the subject on my mind, but it was really solidified as I was sitting in a meeting with my secular work. About once a quarter we get together with our corporation lawyer to hear about all the bad things going on around us, to try to avoid the mistakes that other people have made around us as far as school corporations, in the hopes that we don't get sued, or in the hopes that we don't do something illegal. And some time ago, we spent about a half a day talking about the dangers of technology. Now, the lawyer wasn't speaking in a religious sense, but it was just mind-blowing some of the information that he gave as far as the dangers and the pitfalls of technology. He said today that we have just numerous legal cases around us today because of young people inappropriately using technology. And he made an illustration that I had never thought about before. He says that we live in an age today where our children are growing up and they're growing up in a society that they may do something or they may say something or they may post something on the internet, and it will follow them now for the rest of their lives. 20 or 30 years ago, if I said something or if I made a mistake, it would not follow me the rest of my life. But this lawyer essentially said today that everything is there electronically. Someone does something foolish in their youth, and perhaps 30 or 40 years from now, they decide to run for president of the United States. Well, that mistake they made is going to follow them because there's some sort of record today. And it was just mind-boggling. He was talking about the court cases that he has to deal with today. He says 80 to 90% of all court cases now hinge upon something that someone has done electronically. Sending something via a text, sending something via an email, sending something via Facebook. Well, I want us to look at what the Bible says this morning, and I want us to be mindful of how we conduct ourselves in the electronic media. I want to tell you, this is something some of you older folks may think, well, this is something silly to speak about. But I tell you, we live in a time today where many of our young people are getting caught up in the pitfalls of technology and they're destroying their lives. I want us to also think about the vast amount of information that's available out there today and how maybe people aren't doing foolish things as far as getting wrapped up in moral issues, getting wrapped up in pornography as far as electronics go, but they're watering down their service to God because of an inordinate amount of time seeking this information, seeking this knowledge that's at our hands today. Understand, in the last 15 years or so, we have an unprecedented growth in technology and an unprecedented amount of information at our fingertips. And we would think, well, if we have all of this information at our fingertips, shouldn't that make us more informed, more better servants of Christ? I think what we see when we start talking about statistics, in many cases, this is not the case. It's watered down our faith, if you will. So this may seem like a subject that's kind of odd, that's kind of out there, but I tell you, it's something real, especially if you have children, especially if you're in my generation or the generation before mine. I think that it goes without saying that there's an issue in many areas with people's walk with the Lord, with people's commitment to the truth in this realm. Now, again, understand, when we talk about the understanding the signs of the times, we're not talking about shifting God's word. Now, here's a wonderful truth, whatever subject we speak on, be it the subject of baptism, be it what we expose ourselves or allow our children to be exposed with as far as technology, God remains faithful regardless. That's what we hang our hat on. I think about in Numbers chapter 23 what the Bible says. Moses writes in the book of Numbers, by the inspiration of God, he says that God is not a man that he should lie. He says, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said, and shall he not do it, the Bible says, or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Moses was saying that God doesn't change. God doesn't repent. And in the way that we repent. You know, we make mistakes. I don't know about you, but I make mistakes and I have to apologize. I say something to my wife or I neglect to do something for someone else. I have to apologize. I have to repent. It's because I have a sinful nature. God does not change. And the book of Lamentations, wonderful word of encouragement for us as God's people in the midst of all the troubles that we have. In Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah speaks about the immutability of God. He says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, Jeremiah says. And then he says, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. God is faithful. When men are not faithful, God is faithful. As times change, as temptations change, as the sins and struggles of man change, God is faithful. I like what it says in Malachi. Lord says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. At that time, Israel was in great wickedness. In many areas, they had turned away from God. But he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. So as we think of this, that's what we hang our hat on. So when issues come up, such as what I'm going to speak on this morning, as far as being beware of the technology trap, what we have to do is hang our hats on the Scripture, hang our hats on the Word of God. So very, very quickly, two areas of technology. Let me say this. I'm not saying that we just throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's been some great blessings with access to information. There's been some great blessings with technology. But understand, technology is a tool. It's kind of like the whole gun control debate. There has never been a gun that of its own will took itself and shot and killed someone else. It's the intent behind it. The same thing with technology. It can be a great blessing. It can be a useful tool. But when used wrong, it can become a great detriment to our walk with the Lord. So I want us to think for just a few minutes about technology, and I want us to ponder a couple of things this morning as we think about this subject of beware of the trap of technology. First of all, I want you to understand that having access to too much information can be a dangerous thing. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for just a minute. As we think about this subject, again, we think, well, now we live in a time where we have any sort of information at our fingertips. If we have a question about something, we can type it up on our keyboard or whatever. I guess when you text or something on your phone, thumb it up on your phone, you can have that information to you. Well, the Bible teaches us that too much information is not a good thing. And in the world that we're living in today, I think that it's really affected our understanding of the truth, our diligence to study the truth, and our willingness to embrace the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, but I want us to pay particular attention to later on as we get towards verse 7. Focus on this as we think about the subject this morning. Paul says in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, obedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." I think that would correctly describe the society that we're living in today. As I think about just the short time I've been here in this world, I see it getting worse and worse. In fact, today it seems to me that it's worse than it's ever been before. Maybe you that have lived longer have seen worse times, but I'll say it just really vexes my soul as I try to go out and function in life, just how far down this road we have gone. You can't go into the store. You can't take your children into a store without fear of them seeing something inappropriate or hearing something inappropriate. Well, Paul goes on. He says in verse 5, he says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." I want to tell you, I believe I'm going to give some statistics here in just a few minutes, but I think that we can look at statistics and say this is where the vast majority of God's people find themselves today. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Well, he goes on in verse 6, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts." Verse 7, "Notice, ever learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth." So I want to ask the question, is having instant access to all sorts of information, is that a benefit to understanding the truth of God's Word? I'm not saying information is bad. I'm not saying expanding and enriching your knowledge is a bad thing. But I want to tell you, in the realms of embracing and understanding God's truth, I think that the technology boom that we have today have led many people astray and has really watered down people's understanding of God's Word and people's diligence and faithfulness in digging into God's Word. Let me give you some statistics and follow the timeline. Let me find my little cheat sheet here. Give you some statistics. Back in the early 90s, there was a survey that said 51% of evangelical Christians did not believe in absolute truth. Now, when you think about evangelical Christians, as you think about the spectrum, if you will, of Christianity in our nation, back in the early 90s, 51% said that they did not embrace or that they did not believe in an absolute truth. That number in and of itself is shocking. But notice what happens in 1994, that number goes from 51% to 62%. Well, what was going on in 1994? Well, we have the advent of the internet. That was when Al Gore invented the internet, I guess. back in 1994. In 1999, that statistic jumps to 78%. 78% of so-called conservative Christians say, "I don't believe that there's an absolute truth." Well, about 2 years ago, there was another survey done amongst that same population. And can you guess what the number is now? About a couple of years ago, 91% of evangelical Christians said that there is no absolute truth. That is a staggering number. You think, you know, we live in our own little realm here, and we may take that for granted. We embrace the truth of God's Word. God's Word says it, I believe it, I'm going to do it. But statistics says 91% of evangelical Christians say that there is no absolute truth. Well, another shocking statistic, less than 4% of evangelical Christians now believe that the Bible is infallible, believes that the Bible is the truth that God has given us. So that means that 96% of so-called conservative, born-again believers say that this Bible is the truth, this Bible is infallible for every situation. And notice this, out of that group, another statistic, and I'll stop with the statistics there because it just turns your stomach. Another statistic, 63% of those people just believe that Jesus is a son of God and not the son of God. And if you follow that timeline from the early 90s up until we have what we have today, well, what happened? Well, more access to information through technology. Now, again, I'm not saying let's throw out the baby with the bathwater. But understand, well, what could have happened with this? Well, I think what happened is what the Apostle Paul was warning the church about way back yonder when he was writing his letters to the young ministers, writing his letters to the churches. I believe what he was warning about is what we've seen with this great access to information. We have people that are now being led captive because of this information. What happens now, instead of when someone is confronted with a moral issue or confronted with a doctrinal issue, what used to happen was people went to the Bible. You know, the issue of baptism. This person believes that you should be sprinkled. Well, let's go to the Word of God. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what the book of Acts says. Let's see what Ephesians 4 says. Well, what happens now? Instead of going to God's source, you know, we tickety-tickety-ticky on the internet and we find 9,000 hits about baptism. And I guarantee you, you can look it up and you can find 9,000 different ideas about baptism. Do you see where an overload of information can skew your view? But I tell you, God has given us the consummate source in His Word. You think about the issue of divine creation. You Google creation again, there are 9,000 different, that's probably a real conservative number, by the way, different ideas about what creation is. Well, creation, you know, God used evolution in creation, and those 6 days weren't six literal days. They were epochs of time. They were millions of years. Or, well, God used evolution, and there was this whole world before the world God created. No, all we have to do is go to Genesis chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." You know, and those days and nights were literal days that God created the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, created the trees, created all around us, created man. But Paul warns about that attitude, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Again, how on earth did we get to the point where 91% of those that profess to be Christians don't believe in an absolute truth? Well, they have overloaded with a whole lot of other information. I tell you, that is a frightening statistic. And I believe that is pervasive today. Again, I'm not anti-knowledge. I'm not anti-education, but when it comes to understanding the absolute truth about things, we don't have to go to Google. We don't have to get on the internet and type up the subject. We are to dig in God's Word. And I think it's made us lazy as students of God's Word. God has given us all that we need here in His Word. You say, well, the Apostle Paul didn't talk about the internet in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but you see, the principle is there. The principle is there. Ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. My friends, as God's people, we need to follow what sounds like a simple principle, but an oft-neglected principle of putting our nose here in this book. Don't get into the trap of thinking, well, technology, being the convenience that it is, can do my thinking for me as far as doctrinal truths, as far as practical matters of the Bible. Be careful not to fall into that trap. Again, there's benefits to it, but God has given us what we need to serve Him in His Word. Very quickly, another issue is the temptation. Beware of the trap of technology, the temptation to engage in immorality. And that's why going back to when the lawyer was talking to us, every time that lawyer comes and sees us, I feel like I need to go take a shower afterwards because of the filth that he talks about that's going on around us. Again, we're living in a time where people have instant access to any information in the privacy of their own homes. Here's another shocking statistic, and I want you to understand this. I want to be ginger with it, but I want to get the point across. We have a plague in our society today of our young men and even our young women, being addicted to pornography because of this access to the internet. A statistic that our lawyer gave us was that 90% of men, young men, 16 years old and older, have been exposed to immorality on the internet. 80% of 15 to 17 year olds have. What else do we see in our culture? And I believe it probably ties into the first thing. We see a decline of morals today that is unprecedented. You know, you think about some of the vileness and filthiness that Paul wrote about Rome. We read in history about some of the debauchery and just moral ineptitude and empires of the past. I think we're here in our nation today. Let me make this point. First of all, what we believe about the authority of Scripture is going to eventually affect our morality. It's going to affect what we believe is right and wrong. But we have this open access to information today that's allowing sewage to come into our homes. I encourage you parents to be proactive in your homes and don't allow that to infiltrate the hearts and minds of your children. Let me say this, one of the most foolish things that you can do is give your children access to this information without supervision. We talk about computers today. I used to tell parents and tell folks in the church, absolutely do not put a computer in your kids' room where they can have unfettered access to all the filth out in the world. Would you let your children wander the streets alone of Las Vegas or let pedophiles and let perverts come into your house, just leave the door open and let them come in and out? No, but it boggles my mind. Sometimes we'll allow that stuff in through technology in our homes. And it's not just the computers today, but phones. Basically, your phones are little computers today. And it's just eating up the hearts of our children. Lives are being ruined because of the carelessness of parents. We, as God's people, should understand the signs of the times and understand those potential pitfalls for our children, and the technology trap is one of them. You know, again, there used to be a time where we would make our mistakes and the reaches may not be very far. You know, sin is sin, and we're to confront sin. But today we live in a time where our sins could be broadcast to the whole world. Lives have been ruined because of parents not being proactive as far as the use of technology. And I believe that many of our children's hearts have been stolen away because we've not been faithful to teach God's word that says immorality is immorality regardless of the medium. You know, the Bible says flee fornication, flee youthful lusts. That means anywhere. The Bible teaches us that there is nothing that we do that gets away, that gets past God. It doesn't matter if it's out in the open or in under the cloak of darkness or under the cloak of seclusion. Lord, help us. 50% of divorces today generally hinge upon one party or the other engaging in some immoral behavior over the internet or someone's addiction to pornography. Again, another Christian statistic, in 47% of homes of Christians, this is an issue. Beware of the trap of technology. Well, what are we to do as God's people? Very quickly, time is getting away from us. What are we to do? The prescription is this. We hammer down on God's word. What does the Bible say? Again, the Bible transcends time. It transcends fads. It transcends technology. Well, first of all, we need to continue to model the truth. That's why I'm thankful for this place where we can have brethren come in and stand upon the truth of God's word. Believe the truth. Live the truth. Model the truth for your children. Be aware of the times that we're living in, and instead of altering what you believe to be the truth for the times, insert the truth into the times that we're living in. I think we can safely navigate the times that we have when we live the truth and model the truth for our children. Again, I think in this age of convenience with some technology, we use it as a crutch. We have become lazy and doing what we need to be doing as far as studying God's word. How about the whole relationship realm? Used to joke around that parents used the television as a babysitter. Well, television use has gone down today. Why? Well, people have got the internet. Throw the kid on the computer. That's one of the things we have to be careful of in education. That's the fad today. Throw the kid on some piece of technology and that's going to solve all the problems. No, it's not. And as far as the realms of our homes and those that we have influence on, we need to continue to cultivate and maintain meaningful, godly relationships. Turn off the phones, turn off the computers, turn off the television. Sit down with your family and talk about the things of God. Talk about God's word. Read God's word. Don't spend all of your time reading some man's opinion about God's word or some group's historical opinion about what God's word said 200 or 300 or 400 years ago. Read God's word. As someone once said, truth without relationship leads to rejection. And I believe that's true. We can proclaim the truth, but if we don't live it and we don't share it with those that we have influence over, it's not going to be effective. Again, we understand that God remains true. We understand that though there are influences out in our world that will make shipwreck of our faith, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. But Lord, help us to stand, to not allow our children and our grandchildren and our brothers and sisters in Christ be snared away by the wiles of the devil. Lord, help us to build godly relationships in the truth. I think about what the Apostle Paul said. I'm going to quit here, but there's so much more that could be said, but I hope that this has raised some sort of awareness to get you to thinking about this subject. But as we interact with one another, I can't help but again think about the timeless truth of Scripture. What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, does he say, finally, brethren, whatsoever is trending on the internet? Finally, brethren, whatsoever is popular on the Facebook? No, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. There's the answer right there. There's where our hearts and our minds need to be focused. He says in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen on Google. No, and seen in me, do. And notice this, and the God of peace shall be with you. In the so-called age of convenience, the world will say we can have peace, we can have security in our technology and in the fingertip information. But understand, the timeless truths of Scripture says that peace comes from thinking upon the Lord, focusing upon His truth, focusing upon His Word. May God bless us to be soldiers that stand on the wall, have an understanding of the sign of the times, and may we lead our children, may we lead our grandchildren, may we lead our church in paths of righteousness. I pray the Lord would add His blessing. Let's turn to Psalm number 197.